Hey Podcast, be sure to check out Planet Boom's fresh new album, JC Squad. Immerse yourself in God's presence with these God-encountering songs, available on all digital platforms. Today we have a God-inspired message from Pastor Neil Smith titled Called Out. We pray it blesses you.
You know, in December, we were actually in this room and it was the last staff prayer meeting. We pray here and at that stage there was, I think, still not, if some seats, not many seats, and we were just standing here. And Pastor Russell stood on the stage and he just kept making this statement, come on, let's pray for every person who has been to a service, because we're only just starting to come back, or hasn't been, and let's call them back or call them out. And as he said that, there was just this scripture that came to mind, and it's Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to read it for you in a moment. But the reason I want to emphasize that today is because there's moments where you just know God speaks and you got to respond to those moments. Some of you might not know what those moments are. Some of you might not understand it, but it's that still small voice. Don't push that back. When you get a sense, this might be for me, then I want to stir you to respond to that. So I responded in that moment. We then went into an executive meeting and I was sitting there and Pastor Russell started to say, in January, you're going to preach and you're going to preach. And he said, you're going to preach on this day in January. Here I am. And I just knew that that little prompting was what God wanted to say. So today I'm going to speak what I believe is a word from God for you, not just for me, and it's something that I've been working on over the holiday period. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to the book of Genesis. Those new to the Bible, the book of Genesis is the first book, so it's easy. Now just go there. But nowadays in our phone, we don't actually go to the book, most of us. But if you can, it's in Genesis chapter 15. And I'm going to read from verse 1, the New Living Translation, and it says this. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. Notice in a vision. Have you got a vision for your life? Have you got a vision? Have you got a purpose? Have you got a sense that God has done something and wanting to do something in and through you? Well, I want to awaken that vision today. And said to him, do not be afraid. There's been plenty of reasons in 2020 for us to become afraid. What's going to happen with our income? What's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen with our government? What's taking place with travel? And if we're not careful, we can take that up. But today, like God spoke to Abram, I want to say to you, do not be afraid. God is not taken by surprise. Then it says, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. Now, wouldn't you think if God said that to you, you would be like, awesome, my reward is going to be great. But who knows that when you're in certain stages of life, even when God speaks, it's easy for us to live in the place that we're living, the fear, the disgrace, the humiliation, the feeling entrapped or isolated. And look at Abram's response. Oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will become my heir. Then the Lord said to him, because who knows, the Lord doesn't put up with our rubbish, doesn't put up with our talking back, doesn't put up with our description of what's going on in the world, in our life. He's in control. And he said, the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside. Remember, this is a prophetic picture. This is something that's happening in a vision for Abram. It's not actually physical, but God says, then the Lord took him outside. He took him outside and he said to him, look up to the sky and count the stars if you can. I love that little tagline, if you can. In other words, what God's saying is the dream, the vision I'm giving for you is bigger than you can ever dream or imagine. You can't comprehend what I'm going to do with you. I've got a plan that's beyond what your capacity is. If you can. Oh, I want to speak that over you. If you can. What you're thinking for yourself would be good. God has a better plan. He has a greater day. He has a greater opportunity. He said to him, look up in the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And I love this bit. And then Abraham believed the Lord. I want you to leave this place today full of belief. I want you to leave this place today, whatever has happened in 2020, however you're looking to the future of 2021, I want you to understand that God is faithful to His word, and He's going to come through in your circumstance, going to come through in your situation. So Lord, I pray right now for each and every person in the room, people who know you well, people who are just discovering you, people who are on a journey of discovery. I pray today that people would walk out of this room believing in you and having a hope and a promise of a future. In Jesus' name, amen. This is chapter 15 that I've read from, but if you go back two chapters to chapter 13, we actually start to understand the context of why in the initial stages when God speaks to Abram that he doubts what God's saying. He challenges it because, like all of us, circumstances sometimes can wear us down. And in verse 13, his own nephew Lot has been with him, and Lot has become prosperous as Abraham was. And basically it comes to the point where Abram says, there's not enough room in this space for both of us. Now they're in an incredibly prosperous place, and you know, their livestock is increasing, their wealth, their business endeavors are increasing, and basically they're in a place called the Jordan Valley. And he stands with Lot and he says, what do you want? And being the next generation is always the same because they're still learning and developing, but they've seen what their father and the people before them have had. They want what their father has and more, and so they should. Next generation should see more. But the reality is he doesn't really consider his uncle here. He just says, I want the Jordan Valley, the most prosperous part. And Abraham, being gracious, says, okay, I will move to Canaan. I'll give you the bit that is most fertile, the best land. He goes away and he goes to Canaan. Guess what happens? The king of Sodom actually rises up and he attacks Lot and he takes everything he has. So now not only has Abraham been displaced to another place, he's on the way to what God has purposed for him, but he's lost what he built over years because he gave it over doing the right thing to his nephew. And then he has to go and rescue his nephew. Then we pick it up in verse 15. But right at the end of chapter 13, this is what the Lord says to him. He says, God says to Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as the sand on the seashores. Everywhere your foot treads will be yours. So when we come to verse 15, God's saying the same thing again, and Abram's like, God, it's 5 years later and I lost everything that was over there. My son that I released has come back with me, and I'm in this place. And I want to tell you, 2020 was a season where most of us were in January last year, did not expect to be where we were in December, like we started out in January. But I want you to understand as well, it didn't take God by surprise. It's not like coronavirus has won. It's not like the enemy has done something. We need to recognize that God has an eternal plan, not a momentary plan. So when we think things change, we got to recognize that our God is in control, so He knows what's going on. So rather than looking at what we can't, let's start to look at the possibility. Let's remember that what He said is still the same. What He said back then for us and what He says to us now. For us, 5 years is a long time. It's but a vapor in the eyes of God. So here in this place, we recognize that he was frustrated. He finds himself in an uncertain place. He's frustrated. His plan is frustrated. But the first thing that God says to him in his frustrated state is he says, come outside. Some versions actually, you know, make the statement that he actually called him out. And so today I've called this message called out, because I want you to leave this place with belief to recognize that where you are is not the end. It's just the beginning of what God has for you. But the reason that he called him out is because his vision had become blocked. Why? Because a temporary structure had been erected over his life. You see, the tent that he was traveling in from that place was not his ultimate destination. A tent was never designed to be the place that you actually have permanent habitation. It was designed to house you while you're on your way to where you're going to. Recognizing that you're on you have a destination that you're heading to, a destiny, and sometimes we need temporary measures to house us, to position us to get to where we're going, but they were never designed for us to live there. And one of the things that could happen in a season like this, we could start to celebrate things that were never purposed for us to live in, were never purposed for us to settle in. We need to move beyond where we are into all that God has for us. See, a house represents protection. Protection can sometimes sounds very good. Protection. But you know, if you protect your children for the rest of their lives, they're never going to be purposed to be who they're supposed to be. We sometimes at the right time have to let them go. We have to branch them out. We have to push them out of the nest. But yet in a season like we've had, we've all been locked down. We've all been in a place where we've hidden away. And fear is something that can entrap us in a temporary place that we were never supposed to be. Right now, there's great contention about tomorrow, 50% of the workforce can go back to work in big corporate organizations. 25% of government can go back. And there's even a lot of arguing on the news already about should we go back? Should we live like this? And I don't want to get caught in the debate of what we should or shouldn't do. I don't believe you should either. I don't think we should get caught up in what humanistic thinking is saying. We should go back to the place where we step out and we look up and we're reminded of what God spoke over your life. Don't get caught with the circumstances. Don't get caught with the travel. Don't get caught with where we're going. Continue to focus on what we're heading towards so we can step into all God has purpose for us. Oh, it's important that we don't just think about protection or comfort. Because as much as a home is comfortable, if we live there, we're not going to achieve what we're purposed to do. We need to sometimes get out of our comfort and step back into our purpose. Don't fall into the trap of making something that was meant to be temporary permanent, because it will dwarf your capacity to step into what God has for you. You see, most of us live our lives through the filter as Christians of the temporal versus the eternal. In other words, what we are doing on earth today is temporal, but a vapor, the Bible says. Our lives are but a vapor. But if we have a sense of eternity, we have a sense of God has a plan that's beyond just me and you, but He has a plan to actually reach the earth and remember that people can have a hope found in Jesus Christ. Then when I wake up every morning, it's not about Neil Smith. It's about the vision and the plan that God has given me for this world. You know, when it comes to things like what we're doing in Papua New Guinea, God has stirred me and I wake up. Why do I even care about Papua New Guinea? Because God has put a vision in my heart, and if I'm in my tent, if I'm at home wondering what I can do, I can get consumed with my thing and forget what He's called me to. What about when it comes to things that we're doing within power? It's incredible what God has done, but that's just the beginning. God wants to, you know, bring poverty and the relief of poverty in our city, in our nation, in the nations of the world to an end. So we got to dare to believe that He's purposed some of us to rise up with a vision in our heart like Abraham and not get caught where we are. We got to go beyond where we are on a daily basis. So the tension between the temporal and the eternal. But remember, we live for a God who is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He's got a plan that goes beyond today. And He's taking us to a preferred future. We're going to rise in what He has for us. Get out, step out, move beyond the temporary and into what God has purposed for you. At Christmas time, I had a moment of out and out frustration. My wife and I discussed me going to Sydney on the 10th and the 11th. It's Pastor Scott's fault, because he wanted me to go to a meeting to do with the Bible College in Sydney. So I was obedient and went. But it was at the time when, will we lock down, won't we lock down? And we were going to Perth. And anybody who knows anything about Perth, if you've been watching, it's the most temperamental state of all the states. Somebody sneezes, you know, on the outskirts of Queensland and they shut down the borders. But my mum, we hadn't seen my mum for over a year. And most of you would know that my father passed away 2 years ago. So we really wanted to see her. So the plan was to go. So on the Saturday before Christmas, we were all booked to go. But of course, I went to New South Wales because my wife told me I should. Maybe not. Maybe I said, I think I should go. And anyway, that's history. Don't want to dig up pain. And so what it meant is I flew home at 1 o'clock Perth time on the 11th. That meant I couldn't go into Perth until after 1 p.m. Perth time on the 25th of December. So my family went I stayed home. I'd like to say that I was full of faith and courage for those 4 or 5 days. But when you're at home by yourself thinking you're supposed to be on holidays and you're doing what you're doing and you're thinking, why did I make that decision to go to Sydney? It was Scott's fault. And why did this happen? And I'm thinking the government is ridiculous how one day they say this and the next day they say that. I didn't say it out loud, but I did say it to myself. I've got to confess many times about many people, about many situations. I get to Perth. I'm waiting for the police officer to come to the gate. They have police officers and they question you. And they told me all these questions they were going to ask. I went and got a COVID test. Not because I had to, but because when I went to Perth, I wanted to be able to say, I am COVID free. So I got one on the first day. I got one on the 11th day. Who knows why, but I did it. The second place, I went down near the swimming pool here area and the doctor shoved that thing so far up my nose. It was like, what am I doing this for? I didn't say that out loud, but internally. Frustration was building. I get to the place and I'm hoping he asked me 67 questions. So I've ticked off on all of them. And he says, have you been in New South Wales in the last 14 days? I said, no, because I hadn't been, and 45 minutes to spare. And he says, great, have a great Christmas, see you later. I was almost upset with him that he didn't ask more questions because I'd been preparing for 5 days. It's like, you what? You're not going to even question me? And I'm going to go, ha ha, got him all right, I'm going in. He just let me go. Oh, it's building. I get to Perth, but because I'd been in Victoria for 5 days when my family was in Perth, guess what? We had a case in Victoria when I was in Victoria, so then I'm in Perth, and then they say you've got to self-quarantine if you're in Victoria. Ah! This thing's following me! It would be fair to say that I was coming into 2021 with a sense of it's going to be an awesome year. There's going to be great things happen. But like you, many of us thought, let's put 2020 behind us. Here we are on the 1st of January and it feels like it's got worse. How can I live a whole year like this? The in-between. Oh, the in-between. But we've got to remember that the in-between is only temporary. Well, we got to make sure that we don't celebrate the in-between so much that we actually miss the moment God has for us today. You see, I've now had a revelation. I came to the revival nights on Tuesday night and I came to that even with a little bit of, okay, I'm going to revival nights. I go to conferences every year and I got a million. And within the first few moments of that night happening, something shifted in me that said, God, 2021 is going to be a great year. God, something's going to happen. I know that this isn't a year that I'm just going to roll back and say, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be another year that's waste. No, I'm going to believe that God's going to use me. God's going to do something in me. Something's going to shift. Left over this year. Nothing changed. Oh, but everything changed. How are you going into this year? The in-between. If we move on from passage chapter 15 and go to 16, we realize that the story is there. It's now about 5 years since he left that place where he gave it to Lot and he had to fight for it. God confirms to him again in chapter 15. 12 years later, he's ahead. He still doesn't have any children. Imagine the frustration building. Imagine what's going on. We're talking about 6 months. He's talking about 12 years and he still doesn't have a child and he's heading up into his 80s now. He's like, God. So he does something that many of us have got to be careful we don't do. When we're in the valley of frustration, when we're in the in-between, that we actually don't try to make God's vision come to pass for our lives. We allow God to make it happen rather than us stepping in. He sleeps with his maidservant because his wife is just not falling pregnant. We know the story. Hagar has a child with her called Ishmael, which is a whole nother preaching message for another day, but he has, and it's not God's preferred option for his life. And it's the only time where we really know where he is. What is he in between? Well, the Bible actually says that when the angel of the Lord tells Hagar she's pregnant in a well, which was not far from where they were residing at that moment, she was in between a place called Kadesh and Bered. The word Kadesh actually means holy. The word Bered actually means to be cold. So he's right in the middle of holy and cold. But because he took things into his own hand in that moment. He went from holy, turning his back on it, and stepping into cold. The plan that God didn't have for him, he's now starting to live in. How many of us make decisions in those moments? Because you must be careful what you give birth to in times of frustration. Wait, hang on, hear God, trust God. He's going to come through for you, but don't step into your own plan, your own purpose. Step into what he has for you. But at the same time, you've got to come out of what a temporary and keep moving towards the plan. I'm going to holy. I'm moving towards what God has for me. I'm moving to what he's spoken over my life. Yes, I made some mistakes along the way. Even Abraham makes a mistake and he sleeps with his maidservant. But God is an incredible, gracious God. He still gives him a story ahead. He still calls him a champion of faith. Even though he made a mistake, you made a mistake here today. You can break beyond your mistake. God has a plan for you. God has a vision for you. But I want to stir you today that don't get trapped in the temporary. Don't get trapped in the in-between. Head towards what is holy. And he stands outside. You've already told me my descendants will be as numerous as the sand on the seashores. Now you're showing me the stars. And you're showing me that I can't even really equate to how my descendants will be. But it says, and then Abram believed him. You know, it was 25 years before, from that moment to having a child that was his own Isaac. Our understanding of timing and God's is entirely different. He's been around a long time and he's going to be around for a long time to come. We're but a vapor. But that being said, we're still important in the context of he's got a purpose, a plan, and a vision he wants to show us. Some of you know what he's spoken over your life, but you're trapped in the tent, the temporary place. Some of you know that God has something great stamped for your life, but you're in the in-between and you're thinking about going to cold rather than going to holy. Today, I want to stir you to understand that God wants you to trust him. Look up, which actually symbolically means I'm looking to you. I'm putting my trust, my confidence in you. You called me out. My life isn't temporal. It's focused on eternity. It's eternal. So I'm trusting you because I don't know what's going on around me, but I know your plan has not changed. I know your vision for my life hasn't changed. I know the destination that I'm heading to is holy, not cold. I know you have a plan that's beyond my comprehension, my understanding, my belief. So right in the middle of all of this, we had planned, for those that know, that we were going to do a full rollout of community hubs in Papua New Guinea. March, April was going to be our first. COVID hit. Can't even get on a plane, go overseas. Can't get on a plane, go anywhere. Can't logistically organise anything. What's going on, God? We've been building such momentum. I come out from my tent at that time, I was in my bedroom at home. And I just come out, I don't come out literally, but I come out in the context of looking up and saying, God, what's going on? God speaks to me. Five areas he spoke to us that we got to work in Papua New Guinea. One of the keys was education. He said, run the conference anyway. I said, God, how are we going to do that? Their internet's terrible, all those sort of things. He says, run the conference. So we run a conference online in a nice hotel, so we've got good internet. We're here and we're running it from here. We're doing live presentation. Pastor Andy and I sat on this stage and did live questions. Incredible time. Pastor Andy, I got him to pray for all the students, 100 students from the top 10 students of the best high schools in the nation, so that we can speak into the mindset of the nation. Some of the things we dreamed about. Now, incredible moments. Out of that, there's a college. That college, the biggest private college, says, we want you to do this weekly in our classes. Then they say to us as the year goes on, could you train our teachers as well? Every week we're doing an hour lecture with all these teachers in this college. The same time we're running it on a Sunday for the top 10 students out of the state schools all around. come to the end of the year, it's graduation, so we have a lunch for all the principals to thank them. I tell them about what's happening, and I get two students to stand up. First girl stands up, he's brilliant, articulate, been impacted by the program. The second guy gets up, he wasn't planned to get up. Sometimes the things that you don't plan, God uses. And he gets up, and he stands up and he says, well, it all started for me. In my school a few years ago, when Planet Shakers came to my school in PNG, he said there was a band, and then a guy got up and he said, I think his name was Pastor Andy, which is Andy, our youth pastor and our drummer, you all know him. And he stands in front of the school and he talked on the topic of inspire. In spirit is what he said. I only know that because this kid started to say it to all these principals. And I'm partly going, where's this kid going? Because I want this to go in the direction I want it to go in. He said, I was sitting there and a voice starts to speak to me. I said, I don't know what it is, but this voice is saying, stand up. When Andy's saying, if you can be a change agent for your nation, stand up. Nobody in my school is standing up. He said, for a few minutes, nobody stood up, and I could see Andy was about to stop asking and move on. But I just knew, so this voice was speaking. I stood up, didn't know what I was doing. As I stood up, people started to clap. Before long, the whole school stood up. He said, a few weeks later, the principal asked me to be a part of the leadership group for next year. I was on the leadership group. Then a year later, the principal comes to me again. And he says, I want you to lead a group that's going to go to this conference that's going to be hosted called Believe Institute Future Leaders Conference. He said, so I didn't really know what that was. And I said, sure, take 10 students. And I went. I arrive. Just like on the screen right there, he said, as the screen is there, the guy on the screen is the same guy that's on the screen, which was me. I'm on the screen and all the principals in the room. And he said, he was standing on in our national stadium speaking to a crowd of 100,000. And he inspired us to believe that we could be the change for our nation. I suddenly found myself in a room with 100 leaders, young leaders, who were going to be those change agents. And he said, so principals, I think you should be running this course in every school. And I'm like, wow. The place was silent. Then this lady stands up. She's right near my computer camera, so I could barely see her. She's here. But I've been told before she was quite an influential teacher. She's a principal of a school. She stands up and she says, excuse me, education secretary. We need to endorse this as official curriculum. It must be taught in every classroom in our nation. He says, you know, we can't do that. The curriculum committee has to have a majority so we can go through a process. And he said, look, if to be honest, I think you and I are on that committee. We can say yes, but we need to find others so we got a majority. Another principal stands up at the end of the table. He goes, I'm on the committee as well. And don't we only need 3 people? And the guy goes, I think that's true. And he goes, well, let's do it. So over the last few weeks, we've been cobbling together a course that means that every year 9, every year 10, every year 11, every year 12 in the nation, 1 hour a week must compulsorily be taught about leadership and development of their nation. When I thought I was trapped in a temporary place, God had a different plan. God had a plan that said, I know what I'm doing. I don't change just because circumstances do. Get out of the in-between. Get out of the temporary place. You're being called out. Look up. The vision, the plan, it hasn't changed. Come on, stand to your feet all over this room. Whew. I tell you, some of you have come here today because you were like Abraham in the first instance. God, I know you're speaking. But even as I'm speaking, even as Ben was on the screen earlier, I loved that moment. Oh, Ben's on the screen and he's telling us about he's cancer-free. I don't know about you, but I've watched that 3 times and tears have flooded me every time. But there's a powerful statement he made. There's a surprise service when we were allowed to have church again. Pastor Russell felt God say, start. When he said that, he said, I came into the service. That's when it became real. God had healed me. But I want to tell you, Pastor Russell in a meeting right here said, call them out. Today, my message is really, a statement that we've heard from our leader of our church, call them out. He was saying it in a prayer meeting. I'm saying it to you. Come on, get out of the place of security. Get out of the place of protection. Get out of the place that's holding you back. Get out of the limitation and blocking the view of the vision God has for you. Step out and look up and be reminded of the vision and the promises of God for your life. Stop looking at the circumstances, how you feel, what happened to you, what's taken place in your life. God is God. I believe. I believe. Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?